There's several scriptures I'd like to read this morning as the Lord has laid upon my heart. The first one is found in Matthew chapter 1, the first or 18 verse through 25, and then also in Luke chapter 1 and 2. So let us gather our hearts together and read Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all these things were done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And then we would turn to Luke chapter 1. Starting with verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent unto God from a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom shall be there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I not know a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is her sixth month with her, and who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the maiden, handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And then in chapter 2, we read the first seven verses. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one unto his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. With that, I would like to conclude the reading, and let us... You know, as we read the scripture, as we know that there's the book of Ecclesiastes writes that there's a time for everything. And there's a time to be born. And so this is what we read about in these few verses here in Matthew and Luke, the two that had wrote about the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, this is the time of year that many people celebrate this birth of Jesus Christ. Though many of them may not know him as their personal Savior, but it seems that the world is aware that this is the time that of the year that people celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Granted, it's not known the exact date of which he was born. But nevertheless, he was born, and we realize that, and we worship him because he is our Lord and Savior. And so when we think of Christmas, and we think of this time of year, when we want to remember that the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because, you know, it seems like this time of year, everybody is so busy. There's so much going on, and there's shopping and people going here and there and everywhere. Traffic is heavy, and it just seems like the world is so busy at this time of year. And I wonder sometimes how many people really think about what this time of season is really all about. Is it about buying gifts and giving gifts and celebrating a day of Christmas, as they call it, and there's this celebration they're having, and usually it's a happy time of year. People are happy that their families get together and friends get together, and they enjoy the time together at this time of year because of it being Christmas. And so, all of that being said, we realize that there is something more than just it's Christmas, we're going to give gifts, we're going to exchange gifts, and whatever. We need to realize and remember the reason for the season, and that is the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we read about that here. We read how it took place. It's very different how this happened. Mary, being the virgin that was to give birth to our Lord and Savior, when the angel came to her and said, "This is going to come about upon you, and that there's going to be the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the babe that it be within you is a holy being." And she felt so unworthy of this. How could this be? Well, you see, God has a way of picking and choosing who he wants and who he wants to be in his will. And so he chose Mary because she had a reputation of being a good woman, a God-fearing woman, if you will. And so obviously it was a very, what can I say, a perfect choice, if you will, that he used Mary for this responsibility. And so when he goes to her and tells her this, she's astonished. You know, me? Why me? Well, we don't know why you, but we do know that God had to use someone. He wanted Christ to be born into this world. And you know, it's interesting that the way this all took place, because when you think about Christ as our Lord and Savior, And if you read in the book of Revelations, he's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's going to rule his people. But yet here he was born anything but like a king. You would think if a king is going to be born, he'd be born in the palace. He'd be born where, you know, riches and so forth, like a king would be born. But no, God chose him to be born into a lonely couple and to be placed in a manger because there was no room in the inn. You know, Joseph was, he was aware that he had to go and pay his taxes. So when he went to pay his taxes, he got there and his wife was expecting. And when he gets there, lo and behold, this is the time for her to deliver. And so where were they going to go? They tried to go to the inn. The inn was full. And the reason it was full, because everybody was there to come and pay their taxes. And so there was no room in the inn. And so he went to the stable, mind you, found a place there that this child would be born. And when he was born, they laid him in the manger. I can't think of any lowlier situation than what this might be. To be born in a barn, if you will. And then to put him into a manger because there was no place else to lay him. And so you see how God has worked this together so that when he entered his son Jesus Christ into this world, that he would come in a very lowly state of mind, if you will. He didn't come in here in pomp and in a big way of a king that you would think would come. No, he come in a lonely way of being put into a manger to sleep as a babe. And so you see, when we think about that and we think about our Lord and Savior, now mind you, we're talking about God's Son. We're talking about the one that's come to save us. The one that came to die on the cross. And when we come, when it's this time of year, we don't think of that. We think of him being born and coming into this world. And yet, it's still, we realize who we're talking about. We're talking about our Lord and our Savior. And the scriptures even reveal that he was born for this reason, to take away our sins. And so now, how does this happen? How does this take place? Well, yes, he's born to take away our sins. But that doesn't mean now everybody on the face of the earth, their sins are forgiven. It doesn't work that way. He came, yes, to take away our sins. But you and I, in order for that to take place, must believe in him. We must believe that what we have read here is the truth, and this is the way he was born into this world. And we need to believe that he grew up even as any other young person, individual. He faced the same temptations and problems that teenagers have, kids have, all the way up. God didn't just bring him into this world. Now he's a king. Here he is. He's our King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And now you follow him. No. He was raised just like any individual ever was raised, in a very normal, simple way. Sometimes we don't think of our Lord and our Savior, our God, as such. But it's very true that he was. He knew our griefs. He knew our problems. This is why he was born in a manger. This is why he was raised the way he was. So that we could not say, oh, well, he's God's son. He's a special individual. He never had to go through what I went through. I had all kinds of problems. I didn't have money. I didn't have whatever. No, that's not the case at all. God saw to it that he was brought into this life the way he was, and he grew up the way any young person ever grew up and here he finds him as the Lord and Savior, as we know what happened as he goes through his life and eventually dies on the cross for our sins. So you see, when they recorded this here, I find it interesting that the two Gospels of Matthew and Luke write about this, and they're kind of similar, but Luke has a little bit more of detailed, if you will, as to what really took place and how it was. And so he talks about how he was born, and when Herod the king was the king at the time, and he heard about this, and it troubled him. It says, the Bible says, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And of course, when Herod heard this, that a king is born, you can imagine, wait a minute, I'm king, I have a son that should reign after me, and now you're going to tell me there's a king born? There seemed to be something wrong with this picture. But you see, what Herod didn't know, that this was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He just saw him as a little baby. And so he thought, well, that's okay. I'll take care of that. What I'll do is I'll go and I'll just wipe out every kid from 2 years and under. The Bible talks about it. He took and wiped every firstborn son out that was 2 years old and under, thinking he took care of the problem. But what he didn't know is that God had warned Joseph of this, and so Joseph takes his young child and his mother, and they go to Egypt. And they escape this death sentence, if you will. God has a way of taking care of things, doesn't he? And so he was saved. He was spared. And of course, then, when he saw that it was all clear, Herod had died, he came back, and that's why it records that he was born in Bethlehem, that talks about that, and that they moved to Nazareth, and that's why Christ was called a Nazarene, because he was raised in Nazareth. So you see, God has a way and a plan and a time for everything to take place. And as we think about this day and tomorrow, it's the time to celebrate this birth. And so, granted, some don't maybe believe that way. Some of you don't agree that you need to celebrate that. That's fine. But by and large, most people do. They recognize it, they acknowledge it. And whether it was this day or some other day, it really doesn't matter. What exact day it was, then what does matter is that we recognize the fact that our Lord was born, how he was born, where he was born, and how he grew up, so that you and I can understand that he was like one of us, and yet he was God's only son. He was given, he had the leading of the Holy Spirit in his life from the day he was born. And so that makes him even a more special individual than what you and I might be or even think of. You know, when we give birth to our children, we take care of them, we watch over them, we want to give them the best. And so we can understand, those of us that are married and have had children, our firstborn, we realize and understand what that's like to have a young one, a baby to raise. And so this is a concern for the parents also. And they had raised him up to be a God-fearing man. And if we read further on into the book of Luke, we see that as he became of older age, he behaved himself well. He got along with all of his friends, and he got along with his parents. He was not a troublemaker. And so we can see that he grew up like any of us, but yet he was the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And so as we think about that, I'm reminded of the fact that how he was born and how he lived in this life, but that he's going to come back again. And when he comes back the second time, he's not going to come back in a lowly manger in a real humble way, if you will. He's going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when he comes, he's going to rule and he's going to take up his people and he's going to take those that believe in his name and he's going to take them to be with him forever throughout all eternity. And that's the day every child of God longs for and looks for and wants to hasten. The day that Christ will come back and take us out of this life and that we can be reunited with him through all eternity. And let me remind you a little bit about eternity. Have you ever thought about eternity? Have you ever thought of how long is eternity? You see, we're geared to time. Time to born, we live, we grow up, we come of an older age, eventually we pass away, some young, some older. And so we're geared and understand what time is all about. But eternity, there's no time involved. Eternity is eternity. Forever. And if you can imagine, and like one person put it, how long is eternity? If you can picture perhaps maybe a small bird taking a piece of the earth, flying it to the moon, come back, take some more, fly it to the moon, and how long it would take him to get all the earth to the moon. I mean, just to give you some grasp of mind, if you will, as to how long eternity. And that is only a very small portion of it. Very small. You see, we can't understand, we can't quite comprehend how long eternity is. And so let me remind you where you're going to spend eternity. Every individual here within the sound of my voice is going to give an account of where they will spend eternity. And it's either going to be one of two places. There's only two places that you're going to be. You're either going to be heaven or hell. Now, how do you know which one you're going to spend in? Well, I'll tell you. If you have not accepted this babe as your personal Savior, humbled yourself, repented, and become a child of God, and lived a life pleasing in the sight of God, I can assure you that you will not see heaven. You see, the Bible makes it very, very plain and clear that we must repent, humble ourselves, repent, and become a child of God. Be baptized in the likeness of Jesus Christ. We can read it in the book of Romans how that took place. We're sinners. We're all sinners by nature. We can't avoid that. So we humble ourselves. We ask God to forgive us our sins. We refrain from sin. We die to sin. And then we become baptized in the likeness of the death of Christ. And from therefore live a pleasing life in the sight of God, doing his will, being obedient to his word. And we live this way as to the best of our knowledge, the best that we can. Some better, some others, but nevertheless, we know that this is the only way. And God's word makes that very plain. You will not inherit eternal life unless you are what they call born again. You can read it in the book of John. He told Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him by night and wanted to know how this can be. And Christ told him, unless you are born of the water and of the Spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. So everyone that's here, you know your situation. You know if you've been born again. You know if you've been baptized in the likeness of the death of Christ. I don't have to tell you that. You know it. And so, when we realize that, with that hope and with that faith, believing that one day we will be with him throughout all eternity, that we have a motivation, if you will, to live a life pleasing in his sight, to serve him the way he wants us to do, to be obedient to his word, to forsake sin, and to live a godly life. And by doing that, according to the word of God, you and I, if we do that, will inherit eternal life. If you don't, rest assured, you will end up in eternal condemnation. God forbid that any one of us here today, that will happen to. You have an opportunity today. You have an opportunity now to make right, to change what is in your life. You have an opportunity to live that life that is pleasing in God's sight, to know for sure in your heart that you will inherit eternal life. You see, I don't know how many of you have been burnt, ever got burnt somehow. Some of you have been, like Brother Sergey, he can tell you what it is to be burnt. And it hurts. A lot of pain. But I'm going to tell you, eternal condemnation, you will burn forever. And not only will you burn forever, but you're going to know that you're burning forever. Think about that. Do you want to live? Do you want to be in eternal condemnation for all eternity? Burning and knowing you burn? My friend outside of Christ, you need to grasp that meaning. You need to understand that. And you need to change if you haven't already. Because if you don't, you're going to be a loser. Sorry to say it. So you see, God gives us a choice. He gives us an opportunity. He gives us his word. We know what to do, but we got to do it. If we don't, it isn't going to come automatic. Just because you may be raised in a Christian home, your parents were Christians, that don't buy it. I'm sorry. You yourself as an individual must repent, turn to God, and live a godly life. Because it's your soul that you're dealing with. Not your parents, not your brother, your sister, none of your friends. It's your soul that you're dealing with. And when you deal with your soul, God knows. And so we had to put our trust and our cares upon him. And when we see and read about his birth, him coming into this earth, for what reason? For our soul salvation. It's the only reason he came, for our very soul salvation. And so we must believe, we must trust in him, believe in him, follow in his ways. If you don't, you don't have a chance. You do not have a chance. The Bible makes it very clear. So let us be well aware. Let us be reminded of this and think, look, this is the end of another year. If you haven't done it in this year, you certainly better think about it in the year to come. You have a new year coming in another week or so, the beginning of a new year. Some people make resolutions. My recommendation that you resolve to serve the living God the way he wants you to. If that means repentance, if that means change your ways, if that means whatever it takes, you and I better do it. And we better trust the living God, because what he says is true, and what he says is going to happen. And God forbid that any of us here, hearing the word today, would forsake that opportunity to one day be with him through all eternity because of our own decisions. May God bless these few words upon our heart.
The Apostle Paul tells the Philippians and us, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Amen.